guys can at least read the title and be thinking about it, because it's...
Thanks a lot for the introduction. Actually, I'm going to refer to it as headline throughout the presentation today. So there's been a tremendous link, or there's been links made between plant nutrition and the severity of diseases, whether it's being in corn or soybeans and other crops. But there are a lot of fertilizer manufacturers who are very interested in testing and marketing products with fungicides, especially at the timing that some of these fungicides are being made. However, there's been very limited work that's been done combining those or evaluating those combinations. We do note that there has been a tremendous increase in the use of fungicides on corn over the past several years. We do note that fungal infections decrease the amount of photosynthetic tissue that's available for that plant, which also reduces the transfer of assimilates from the source or those leaves to the ear, ultimately our sink. We also see that those fungal infections divert assimilates to fungal growth, defense mechanisms, and also increased respiration. So ultimately, in high-yield production systems, we've integrated fungicide applications to maximize photosynthesis. Now, we started doing fungicide work back in 2004 on corn. Okay, that was when we saw a lot of fungicide applications on soybeans, and so I thought, well, let's see what will happen on corn in particular. And so over the last 7 years, I figured I look back over all of our experiments. We had about 54 site year hybrid evaluations of headline in particular compared to a non-treated control. And we're trying to make sense of a lot of that data. And really what we end up seeing is over here along the vertical axis, here's the yield increase with our fungicide application over the non-treated control. Here's our yield environment, okay? And basically, when we get down into that low yield environment, what I call anything less than 100 bushel per acre, something else is going wrong. I mean, you have something else that's limiting, and a fungicide application isn't going to make a poor farmer better, okay? At that point in time, you need to be doing something else, okay? As we move into a kind of a medium yield environment from about 100 to 150 bushel per acre, we see that there's a higher increase in the probability of a response from those fungicide applications. And then when we get greater than about 150 bushel per acre, that probability raises quite a bit, and particularly when we get into that 200 plus range, okay, the consistency of the response to these fungicide applications increases, okay? Now, we'll shift gears a little bit to boron. We do note that boron is very important for cell wall synthesis, nutrient uptake, cell division, and corn reproduction. In fact, we see that deficiency may result in barren stalks and small twisted ears, as we can see down here in the bottom right-hand corner. In some instances, we may see a reduction in the incidence or severity of disease with boron applications, and it may reduce the fungal and mycotoxin contaminants in corn as well. Most of the research on boron has been focused on semi-arid regions, calcareous soils, and sandy soils as well. And we've seen limited work on in the Midwest, especially on fine textured soils. Okay, now, on these soils, we've seen a tremendous amount of removal over these years, and probably down a lot of inputs because we don't have alfalfa in the rotation, and generally we see a replenishing of boron when we have alfalfa in that rotation. So we hypothesize that bringing these two products together we might see a synergistic increase in the yield, especially when we go out at like a VT application. Okay. We're at the silking and the midst of pollination, and this might be a real benefit. So our objective was to evaluate the effects of foliar applied boron and headline on yield, tissue borne concentration, and the severity of disease. Okay, we had four sites in northeast Missouri. We carried this research over 3 years. We end up with about 12 site years of work. And unfortunately, I don't have the dean talked into a plot sprayer quite like this, so we did apply everything with a backpack sprayer. So when he's ready to fork out the money, I'm ready to get a pilot's license. Anyway, everything's randomized complete block, 10-foot by 50-foot plots, limited alleys so that we wouldn't have any microenvironment effects there. All of these were high-yielding sites. In fact, 2008 to 2010, we had great rainfall as long as we had good nitrogen applications. We had high-yielding sites all three of those years. The novelty site was an irrigated site, just so that we could control for make sure it was high-yielding. Boron was applied at a pound per acre, okay, with a CO2-propelled backpack sprayer, and it was applied as a top-dress treatment from V5 to V6. It was applied from V5 to V6 by itself, and then followed by a headline application at VT. It was also applied as a VT application by itself, and then as a VT application plus headline. Okay, headline was applied by itself as a control treatment at the 6 ounce per acre rate. Okay, all of our headline applications did include non-ag surfactant, okay, which is labeled for that product at 0.25% volume per volume. Now, our whole plants were harvested at the V5 and V6 to V6 stage, okay, and analyzed for boron concentration. Then we went back 10 days later, harvested the whole plant again to look at the change in boron concentration. We did the same thing at the VT stage of development. We took that ear leaf off, and then 10 days after application, we took another sampling of those ear leaves to look at boron concentration in that foliage. We rated the severity of disease. Those were at 42 days after treatment, and then grain samples were evaluated for symptoms of diplodia. We also evaluated ear tip fill by using a digital caliper. Okay, and we basically went through in 2008 and measured every ear, in that row. And then just because of the sheer number of evaluations, we evaluated 20 ears in the subsequent years for those at each location then. Okay, so when we look at tissue boron concentration, we see that at the time of application, all of our sites were testing in the low range for boron, and some of the other surveys that have been done with other industries in the Midwest have also indicated that we have on tissue samples, we've had very low tissue tests at that point in time. So about 10 days after application, all of our treatments still were testing low for boron. So then when we look at a VT application, all of our sites were testing in the low range again. And then 10 days after VT, 10 of the 12 sites were testing in the optimal range, and 2 of the 12 sites were in the low range still. Okay. So did that have any bearing on yield? Okay. Along the vertical axis, we're looking at yield. Along the horizontal axis, we're looking at our foliar applications. Okay, when we compare that non-treated control to the boron application at V5 to V6 or at VT, or the combination of boron plus headline at VT, we saw no significant increase in yield compared to the non-treated control. Now, when we applied boron at that top dress application followed by a headline application, we saw a 6% increase in yield, okay, and then with headline by itself, it was a 5% increase in yield. So basically, if we're seeing a deficiency at VT, you probably want to hold off on a foliar boron application. For one thing, we may see some antagonism with the headline application, and you just save your money, or I'm sure our dean will gladly accept a check, you know, for your savings and that. But nonetheless, we need to get it on early. And we also have been evaluating soil applications, early applications, and these later application rates. So we were only evaluating one rate, so that may be one limitation as well. When we look at ear tip fill, we're looking at basically a smaller number is good. That means that it filled out closer, because basically we were measuring the amount of tip fill that didn't fill. And so our top dress applications did fill a little bit more. That is about 1 millimeter. So whether that was significant on yield or not, it did fill a little bit more. We weren't seeing a massive amount of the lack of ear tip fill on these any of these sight years. So when we looked at the severity of disease, figure set up with the non-treated control, the blue bars represent the foliar boron applications by themselves, and then the other colored bars represent combinations of either of headline alone or the applications with boron or that split application. And we see that at our different site years, at Novelty in 09, at Bethel, at four of the six site years, we saw a reduction in the severity of gray leaf spot with headline applications. With the boron by itself, we saw limited effects on the severity of gray leaf spot at any of these sites. And then the Bethel site, we saw no difference in the severity of disease among any of the treatments. Just to give you a couple pictures, this is our the headline by itself, okay, and then here's a non-treated control. You can see that we're having a significant effect on the amount of leaf area that is still green with that treatment, okay. Again, this would be at the Bee Ridge site. This would be the headline treated and then the non-treated over here at the right. Okay, let's look at the severity of common rust, anthracnose, northern corn leaf blight, and then we also had seeds with diplodia. Common rust, we had, six site years where we were able to rate it. Again, we saw a reduction in disease severity with our headline treatments, and the anthracnose stalk loss is primarily the headline treatments again, and then kind of a reduction of northern corn leaf blight. We only had it at one site year over the 12, again, a reduction with the headline treatment there. Now, at all 12 site years, all that data was combined, no interactions or anything, and we saw no significant effect on the number of seeds with diplodia symptoms at harvest either. And then just a few more pictures. This would be headline at the Bethel site in 2010 compared to that non-treated control. And then here's a headline treatment compared to a non-treated control at Bee Ridge in 2010. So I think you can understand the significant effects on yield when we have disease and we can prevent disease with that treatment in particular. So in summary, grain yield was ranked with our from highest to lowest boron at the top dress application timing, followed by headline, which was equal to headline at VT. It was greater than our boron plus the headline treatment at VT, which was equal to boron at V5 to V6, or that top dress treatment, which is all equal to the non-treated control or boron by itself at VT. Headline at VT and boron, when it was applied at that top dress timing, followed by headline, increased yield by 5 and 6% respectively. Okay, so a significant increase by those treatments. Top dressing boron at the V5 to V6 application timing did increase our plant boron concentration by a small amount. Okay, again, it didn't increase it to that optimum or level when we're looking at tissue tests. And we saw that when we looked at it at VT or later in the season, no significant increase in the concentration when we were looking at that top dress application. A foliar application at VT did increase our ear leaf tissue concentrations 24 to about 300% 10 days after treatment. At 9 to 12 of the site years, this didn't carry over into yield impacts. And The last note was the effects on the severity of disease. And basically the recommendation would be, you know, if we're testing low for boron, make sure that, you know, if you're testing it at the VT stage, we haven't seen a response from it, I wouldn't tank mix it with the headline treatment. Just stick with the headline by itself and then make sure you correct it with a soil applied or an earlier application earlier in the year. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah. So, questions for a little bit later, but we might...